Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Time Spent Poorly Show with your hosts, Eduardo, Old Huds, and Brother Ron. Here's a quick clip from tonight's show to whet your appetite.
And not to totally shit on things, but how is there not a MILF on the shelf? Like, that should be a thing. For, like, 40-year-old dude.
You need right. to market that, like, yesterday, man.
Yesterday. We should
for real.
Make
slutty
them.
Barbie dolls in...
There's fucking MILF on the shelf.
Yeah.
He's gonna look it up. There has to be one, right? I haven't even thought to look it up.
If there's not, there should be.
I don't want that in my Google history.
That's, That sells itself right there.
It does. Like, that could be a whole series.
Unsure of what to get your single son this holiday season? Why not stop by Walgreens and grab him one
just
of the new MILFs?
Just happens to be inflatable. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really big. I can't even get it on the shelf.
It's a fucking... MILF on my couch because I can't fit her on the shelf.
I got it on my bed and fucked it, though.
Wow, this really sounds like it's going to be the best show, better than anyone we've done before or anything we can do afterward in the history of the program. You mark my words. We know there's all sorts of better ways you can be spending your time, so thanks for spending yours, albeit poorly, with us. If you want to learn more about who we are, go to timespentpoorly.com. Everything you need to know, whether it's accessing past episodes, future live broadcasts, or other shows on our network, it's all right there. There's also a link to our Patreon if you find yourself compelled to support one of your favorite shows, hosted by any of these nobodies from the Pacific Northwest. Well, gentlemen, I'm not here, but you are, so let's get it on! Without further delay, please welcome your hosts, Eduardo, Old Huds, and Brother Ron.
All right, welcome to the show. Ron is running slightly behind, but he's on his way. He will be here shortly. Over across from me is Old Huds himself. And I am Eduardo. That's who I am. We got some good stuff planned tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about the Oscar nominations. We'll have a random news article. It's Kindness Month this month. So we've got some... we're going to talk about some kindness things.
I'm not very kind. I'm one of the least kind people there is.
Well, that's what's funny about... the subject we'll talk about, but we'll get it more into that here in a few minutes. But yeah, definitely... Super Bowl's coming up this weekend, if you're into that sort of thing. We'll have it on, but it's not something that I'm overly concerned about. Like,
I know there's, Rick's going to come over. Grandpa's super excited because I think the Rams are in it.
Yeah.
And the Bengals. His team.
And, you know, we've got an 86-inch TV. I don't mind football. I like watching football. I don't like listening to Tony Romo talk. I cannot stand that kind of commentary.
I don't like any of them.
Unintelligible. And there's a few of them. And I don't know them all by name, but I'll be listening. And it's just like, oh, man, these guys just kind of pull shit out of the fucking air.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And it'd be like if I showed up to commentate. And I was like, look at him with that football. It's pretty neat. And I was like, you fucking played the game.
Some of them. Some of them have just been professional sportscasters.
And a lot of them anymore and you're like, past players,
who are
though.
All you've done your whole life is just talk about sports. And somehow you make millions of dollars. That's really lame. Sarah Palin takes the New York Times to court. Sorry. I saw her there and I, I thought, oh. No, that's not the one. I hope the Rams lose. Why do you hate the Rams so much? Just because they're from L.A. now? They went from St. Louis to L.A., from L.A. to St. Louis back to L.A.? I think that's what their journey did.
Yeah, didn't the Raiders make a stand for them when they moved to Vegas?
With the what?
Didn't the Raiders make a space for them when they went to Vegas?
No. I don't think
so. How long have the Rams been back in L.A.?
A while. L.A. can house as many teams
as they want. Right, they could house the whole fucking league.
I think so.
If they wanted.
Yeah, L.A. and New York could split the teams, and it could just be Eastern and Western. I don't know if that's Dad or Ron, like Brother Ron. Which Ron is that?
Chatting on his way.
Yeah. he's on his way. And he's probably smoking a cigarette out front. My neck looks really thin when I have a hoodie on.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Instead of a pencil thin mustache, I'm doing something. Kindness month does not apply to yourself. Now, what is it that you wanted to talk about at Kindness Month? I hadn't even heard this until you said something in the chat like 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes ago.
I'm pretty sure February is Kindness Month.
That's crazy.
Yes, February is Kindness Month.
Oh, he quit smoking. That's right, because he's having an operation.
And it's something I learned of because my wife's a teacher, and so they work it into the – the curriculum.
The indoctrination of our youth.
It still hasn't. It still. No matter what they do, they can't. They can't squash that. The bullying problem.
No, because kids are mean.
Yeah. Well, and they have mean parents. I mean, my kids are like carbon copies of me. Yeah. My son has a really sarcastic sense of humor, and it gets him into trouble all the time. I was the same way. You got to learn how to harness it. Even now, like, I'll say something that comes off it, like, I'm like, this is sarcastic, but then, like, a person will take it, like, literal.
Yeah, I would be expelled now if I was even, and I wasn't even, like, horrible bad. I was not kind, but I was not, I don't know. But I would be canceled all the way out of school at this point.
Yeah. We'll get more into it when Ron gets here, because I know he wanted to talk about that. But you had posted that post on Facebook.
Oh, about just leaving other people to their...
Yeah, and so that it's kind funny of... It plays into the Kindness Month theme, which is February. Which, you know, February, like, February's the kindness is kind of taken over.
Month.
Yeah. It's like
Black History Month.
Black History Month, the shortest month of the year.
Yeah.
So that's all we're going to give them.
Ron has goodies.
What they got? Story. Oh, wow.
Oh, he had some sort of macaroni and cheese balls.
Oh, I got some balls.
I think he said I.
No, there's. So it's like these random acts of kindness, and your post kind of resonates that. So it just sounds like you're being like Kindness Month gay with your post now.
Yeah.
Now everybody's just thinking you're latching onto the Kindness Month thing.
Yeah, and I didn't even know about it until you said something. No offense to Nicole, but I'm not a big fan of teachers in general.
No, I don't think she... Well, I don't have a big... I'm not a big fan of a lot of teachers. I think there are some great teachers.
Yeah. Especially former teachers. They get in their heads a lot that they're more important than they really were. Like, there will be a teacher pretty much in everybody's life. Like, you can look back and there's one or two that really hit you. Or, you know... Not like physically. I mean, there's always the one, but there's one that had a huge impact on your life, and most of them are not teachers. Like, most teachers did not have an impact on one of their students, but there's always a teacher in your past that did have an impact. But almost every teacher thinks that they're having a huge impact on all of their students, and they're not.
Like, oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of teachers, and even the teachers that have an impact, like a teacher that would have an impact on me, isn't necessarily going to have an impact on every student. Not that teacher isn't the fucking, oh, captain, my captain of all teachers. He just happens to have some sort of ability to co-identify with a certain subset of individuals more often than not their own type. I mean, there's certainly teachers that can touch an entire unit of people.
Yeah, but they're
few and far between. Yeah,
and most of them are not ever going to be that teacher for any student. And it sucks to be that hammer to tell people that, but like you can go up to most teachers and just be like, you're never going to inspire anyone. Not a single one of the hundreds of students that you have over the course of your career are you going to inspire in any way. Like, I've interacted with a lot of retired teachers in the last 2-3 years, and I can tell you that at best they've damaged more students. It, like, that's the inspiration that they've been, is they've inspired like fear and torment as opposed to like any sort of greatness.
Yeah.
And they're just like awful. And you even mention them and you hear things from their former students like, yeah, this was one of the worst people that I ever knew. And 20 years later, they still remember, like, nothing good came out of that.
Yeah, no, and there's been teachers that have since passed, and what happens when they pass away is a lot of former students, especially with with Facebook out there, will hop online and be like, oh, this such a great teacher, such a great person. And it's like, that's not the way I remember them. But, I mean, everybody has different memories of people, but that was never one of never one of my primary memories. I mean, in fact, I kind of remember this teacher being an asshole towards me.
Yeah. Or they just weren't, not only were they not good teachers, but they weren't good people.
Right.
Or like, oh yeah, that was the teacher that kept a whiskey bottle in their desk and they were only good for stealing a pack of smokes. Or if we couldn't find anybody to buy liquor, we could always, you know, distract them and steal the bottle out of their desk.
Right.
You know? Like, yeah, I remember. Yeah, it's a shame he's dead because he was always great.
He was good for, yeah. Oh, look who's here. Somebody's here. Oh, thank you.
Holy shit.
Beware of Rizberry gifts.
It was really easy to drink.
Did you get a good buzz off it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really good. Really good.
I just set her right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to. If we do, they're sitting over on the table there, are they?
You'll have to excuse the brief interruption.
I think we might be all right, but I'm not sure. I haven't had one yet.
I've got some tissues over here.
Oh, there you go.
So. All right. Sorry for the delay, gentlemen.
That's all right. We'll survive.
No worries. Ron is here. Ron has arrived.
Hello, Internet
brother,
people.
Brother Ron.
Hello, Internet people.
So I'm not so central.
We are, we've been talking about teachers.
Yeah, I was listening on my way up.
Oh, okay. So you're up to speed.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I didn't have any teachers that made, kind of in the way that you were describing it, you know, where they had that like really like life-changing profound impact on you. But I think I need to go this direction or turn the monitor. I can't see me.
Oh, it's right here.
Oh, it's right there. Can we...
I'll come this way. You come this way.
Scooch. There we go. Oh, okay, that's better. Sorry. Hey, Mox. But I did have several teachers that I learned really important lessons from.
Yeah.
Oh, well, sure, yeah.
You know, but they weren't like... wasn't like fucking Mr. Belvedere or anything like that.
Mr. Belvedere was a butler.
Who's the teacher that I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
Shit, who's the teacher that I'm thinking of from TV?
Mr. Belding?
No. He was the principal. No,
Ron,
it's not
where's
Mr.
your
Belding.
Car?
Parked in front of your neighbor's house.
Oh, okay. Along the edge?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool, shit, cool, who cool. am I thinking of? Was it Welcome Back, Cotter? I think might be who I'm thinking of. I think maybe that's what
Mr.
I'm thinking
Cotter.
Of.
I watched that.
Not sure why I thought Mr. Belvedere. But.
Welcome back, Mr. Belvedere.
Anyway.
Belvedere. I want one of those.
Man, yeah, you do. Damn. That's some good shit right there.
Thanks, Tori.
Looks good. Thank you, Tori.
Hi, Amy. Hi, Ollie.
Hey, Amy. Hey, Ollie. to catch up on what I was listening in the car, go Bengals. Rams are, according to Las Vegas right now, Rams are 4.5-point favorites, which I honestly think is a little bit surprising. But
so I'm going to root for them.
So I, the favorites. I saw, I mean, you guys have seen it because you're friends with me on Facebook, but I'm very prone to the NFL stat of the day that may interest only me. Oh, wrong hand. Hey, buddy. I found out today that Joe Burrow and Matt Stafford, the two guys that are playing quarterback for their respective teams in the Super Bowl, are Joe Burrow is the youngest number one overall pick in the draft to make the Super Bowl. He made it in only 2 years. And Matt Stafford is the oldest number one pick to play in his first Super Bowl, which it took him 13 years, which I thought was kind of interesting.
That is.
And yeah, I'm not surprised, Tori. These things are freaking delicious.
They are very good.
Very.
People, as a listener, listeners like listening to ASMR. Yeah. ASMR.
Mm-hmm. So. But we all know ASMR. I'm ASMR. Probably a bigger football fan than the two of you combined.
Oh, by far.
So, I mean, yeah.
You're almost as big a fan as I am of the favorites.
I'm very, very excited for the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is and has always been in my household like an unofficial holiday. So
to hop back to the kindness month thing.
Yes. Where did you find? Yeah. Oh, did you pull it up? Okay, because I was interested.
That HUD's posted earlier today, which did strike me as very out of character for HUD's.
I'm cruel.
Here's something we could all internalize, me especially, just leave other people alone to do their thing. And, you know, and I think, and I read this and I was like, you know, I could do this too because I am very, like, quick to be judgmental of people and things that they're doing. If it's not something that interests me or if I think it's stupid, I'm like, oh, that's stupid. Go do your stupid, stupid thing. Mm. But it's HUD says the next or the post is the next time you see someone enjoying something that isn't hurting anyone that's not your cup of tea, instead of saying something negative, train yourself to think to yourself, I'm glad they're happy and carry on with your life. So it's basically like leave me alone, leave others alone.
Let people like what they want to like, man. Right,
let them do their thing.
It's not hurting anybody.
And
I might think that it's dumb as shit, but whatever. Sure. I'm sure there's an awful lot of things that I like that people are like, wow, really, Ron?
Yeah.
So, we're doing
one of those things.
Well, yeah, right? Now. Like, look at some of the garbage movies that Tori and I watch.
Right.
That most people would never subject themselves to. And not only do we watch them, but we genuinely enjoy them.
Yeah.
So, well, you know.
We're doing one of those stupid things right now.
Yeah,
right now.
Exactly. Yeah, that's actually a really good point.
So the thought or that notion does not escape me at all. Like,
yeah, like
I know I have friends that like me that I'm sure think, Ward does that podcast.
Yeah, what I'm doing now is kind of dumb.
I had people at the restaurant ask me about the show here the other day.
Nice.
They were asking about, cause they overheard me talking to my coworkers about the Mary Mack interview and yeah.
Yeah, she got us some views.
Yeah.
Most people don't watch us.
Thanks, Mary. That interview is top notch. Speaking of past episodes.
Mildly charming in that one.
I was re-listening to our.
Mildly charming is like your baseline, though.
Like, that's my baseline.
That's where I float.
Like, really?
I was re-listening to our last episode of the year of 2021 with Bruno.
Oh, yeah.
Huds and I.
Uh-huh.
Friend of the show, Bruno.
Putting it together and editing the opening. And if you're a listener of the podcast, you will often get the intro from the beard, Brother Rick, who will opens each show with a clip from tonight's episode. And then after the clip, pronounces, oh, that sounds great, or that's going to be the best episode
ever. That's the best stuff they've ever done.
Yeah, sounds like it's going to be the best stuff they've ever done.
Ever do.
So I clipped this one here today and just tossed it up. And because out of context,
it sounds awful.
Horrifying. So
yeah,
but I love it.
That's a good word for it.
I'm gonna play it here.
Here's a quick clip from tonight's show to whet your appetite.
What if, you know, they killed the one puppy or dog or whatever to get back and then realized how much power they had and they just went power hungry and decided to start killing off all the dogs?
See, that's a very human response.
Right.
And then you can't forget.
Is it? But humans are just animals if you think about it, right?
I know. I use that argument a lot.
Wow, this really sounds like it's going to be the best show. Here's a quick clip from...
in which we lengthily discuss puppy murder.
Right. Well, and that was an interesting article, too. The whole thing was...
Oh, we had a banger of a conversation about that. So if you don't listen to the show all the time, or if you're just picking up this show now, go back to... Go back and listen to the last episode, episode 32 of... Time Spent Poorly show.
Where I excuse human-like behavior in monkeys.
Bruno had mentioned after that show that was one of his favorite shows to do. We actually had some good topics
I've listened to it. It was a really good show.
We were all over the map, but had some good...
Yeah, there was a lot of good
foundational stuff
good
in
fun
there.
To be had.
But, yeah, so I love it when I find those clips that are... wildly out of context can be construed. Like, I mean, we could have been talking about my kids murdering dogs.
Yeah. Right.
And how we're like, we're all just animals, you know?
Yeah.
When I was going through DINFOS, the Defense Information School at Fort Meade, there was a whole day on pulled quotes. So it was pulling stuff out of the article for blowing it up and putting it in larger print in print articles, even though, what, there's like... four real newspapers left in the whole country.
And they're all online.
And they're all junk.
Yeah.
And I would always take something that was just crazy out of context. And you get your two lowest scores are knocked off. And so I knew I could take two zeros and not worry about it because I got between 95 and 100% on everything. So I knew I could... I knew I could take a zero and be okay. And there was one of the assignments had something about some kid golfing. And there was one sentence in there where he said that he liked to swing. And so I pulled that as my pulled quote and put it as the headline. It was, I like to swing.
Local golfer, quote, I like to swing.
- kid. So the kid likes to swing.
That's
gave
great.
Me a zero.
That's great.
And
that's honestly like, how they write articles anymore, though.
I know
the headlines it is. For yeah. shit. That's a clickbaity shit. You should have been a clickbait.
She's like, "How could you do that?" I was like, "It's in the article.
Well,
it fits all the rules." And she gave me a zero anyway. And I was like, "I knew you'd give me a zero because it." And she used the argument that it was inappropriate. And I was like, "How is that inappropriate? It's about golf." He likes to swing.
It reminds
me. He's 10 years old, Chris.
it reminds me a little bit of that Mayim Bialik article that we read here. I mean, God, it's been several shows ago now, but the headline was something about how, it was the sitting rising test. Mm-hmm. And the internet can't stop talking about, they make it sound like it's some kind of
big news,
big deal, and it's absolutely jack shit.
Yeah, it's fucking dog shit. Nothing.
To go back to what you were saying about the kindness thing and the main point that I wanted to make was I always laugh when I see memes that in, two sentences actually capture your thought
mm-hmm.
or something, because it doesn't happen very frequently, but when it does, it's really kind of profound little moments. And that whole thing, I don't want to sound like the big fucking softy that I am. I don't think I have enough words to describe how much better my life got once I started putting that into practice. Once I just genuinely stopped, a lot of it had to do with going through my divorce
mm-hmm.
because everything was so messy, and every fucking time I turned around, there was somebody who was like, "Oh, I saw your ex-wife doing this, or I saw this person that knows your ex-wife doing this, and da-da-da, and it really helped me to focus my energy and like my focus essentially on just my own shit. And then it just kind of spread from there of like, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with me. It doesn't occupy space in my head because it genuinely doesn't have anything to do with me. And I really, really liked that. And I have to agree with Ward. I did kind of a double take when I saw that you were the one that posted it, because I was like, man, that does not sound like Chris. But at the same time, sometimes it does, because
an alien grabbed.
He's punking the kindness monthers.
But at the same time, yeah, suck my kindness month.
he's waiting for someone to comment. Oh, I couldn't agree more. Queer.
Fag.
But at the same time, you very, very regularly, if I can speak, are talking about how people just need to tend their own garden and mind their own fucking business. And there's a lot of that kind of tied into each other. It's just expanded upon from that, because instead of just minding your own business, you're able to take it a step further and be like, you know what? They like that. Good for fucking them. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with you. And yeah, it sounds cheesy and very saccharine to say it, but I couldn't describe how much better my day-to-day life got once I started actually doing that.
Well, one thing,
or even trying to do that,
is seeing another person who's constantly fucking with other people's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I can believe that.
And you look and you're like, why? Why does it matter?
What's your end game?
Or
what's the point?
Or somebody who's, well, and here's an example, not quite as extreme, but like listening to my grandpa correct people's grammar made me stop correcting people's grammar.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, fuck you. Is that what I sound like when I do it? It is? Fuck you. Who gives a shit?
Is that really necessary?
I was watching Walking Dead just yesterday, and like three people, one dude's got, dude's making two people play Russian roulette, and he's got an AK, and they're trading the revolver back and forth. And
is this season 9?
10.
Oh, okay.
And the guy's trying to make an argument, and grandpa just goes, oh, you should have said him, not this. I'm like, fuck you. Like, are you serious? Everybody's holding guns on each other, and you're going to correct grammar? They're both going to shoot you.
It's like Stannis Baratheon.
Yeah.
You have fewer fingers, well, fucker.
There's fewer knuckles on my hand now?
Yeah.
Think I care about that right now while I'm bleeding?
Right.
There's an awful good chance that whoever wrote the script already knows how it's supposed to be said,
right?
And is writing a character's dialogue because the character,
because that's how the character would speak. Yeah,
I was a little more polite about it. I just looked at him as I paused the show, and I looked over at him, and I was like, "I'm no expert," but, and then I was like, "Wait a minute, no, I am." Both in language and having people hold guns on people, I'm pretty sure in that situation nobody gives a shit about grammar.
Yeah.
And is that the episode with Robert Patrick?
Yeah.
Twice?
Yeah.
Oh, Robert Patrick shows up?
Robert Patrick's the AK making him do it.
Briefly. Oh, man. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
He's just in the one episode. I was like, nice.
Man. Can't believe I'm going to say this, but shout out to fucking Robert Patrick, Peacemaker. Fuck.
I was going
to
say the same thing. I watched
so good.
I haven't enjoyed it as much as I thought I would.
Oh man, I have.
It's been fine, but it's not. That's the word. It's fine. But
James Gunn's humor really tickles my.
Oh sure, no,
my bone. Yeah, it really, really works for me. That whole
can of corn.
That
to Bruno.
When he, I believe it is in that first episode when he shows up at his dad's house and he says something about how he was in prison for X amount. I was in prison for 4 years and blah, blah, blah. And Robert Patrick's response is just something to the effect of, yeah, I hope you took out a lot of blacks along your way there or on the way there or something like
that. Something like that.
It was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's not the kind of thing you regularly hear in a show. And yeah.
And that eagle giving him a hug was hilarious. I don't know why, but that got me. I was just laughing.
Like, it's are you current
Ward?
Why
is that eagle hugging him?
I've only watched like 1.5 episodes.
Oh, really? Okay.
You can spoil whatever because I don't care.
I don't want to. But it really the first episode is a really good baseline for what you can expect for the show. But as it goes further along and you learn a little bit more about the characters and you learn a little bit more about what the plot of what they're doing is, it really does get genuinely engaging. Vigilante, the guy that is essentially like wants to be Peacemaker's best friend, is a full blown, I'm not sure whether he would classify more as a psychopath or a sociopath. I think it's more as a sociopath, but he is hysterical. He's talking to these two characters while they're sitting and smoking a joint about how it's like, man, you guys realize that like 2 years ago, if I was in here and you guys were doing this, I would have just shot you both in the face. Because he's like Peacemaker. He believes in
law and order.
Law and order, no matter what. And he later in the episode makes a comment when they're talking about something. He says, you know how most people like feel emotions and stuff? And like, he's just, he is a highlight of the show. He's really, really funny.
Yeah, I don't know. I think James Gunn is definitely a movie director. Just from what I would agree with the first episode, because I'm using words and I didn't want to fuck with where he was.
Oh, dude, I can make you an account on mine if you want.
Would you?
Yeah, of course. Awesome. Yeah. HBO Max is one of those nice ones that lets unlimited people watch. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It doesn't have limitations on screen uses. So, yeah, I'll make you an account when I get home.
Tight.
And send it to you. Because there's... Did anybody watch the... I'm sorry to just hard subject change, but we are on HBO Max. Did anybody watch the South Park premiere?
No.
No, not yet.
It's fucking great.
Is it?
They do a really good job of skewering mask wearers and anti-maskers all in the same episode. Yeah, really, really, really good episode.
That's the one thing that Trey Parker and Matt Stone or the creators of that show have always been able to do is basically call out
every
point of view on their bullshit.
Very, very.
So they're not like... and they're ambiguous enough that you don't even know where they land on the subject.
They very rarely play their hand about what their opinion is.
Yeah, yeah. And you get a good idea of what it is, probably, but at the same time, they're really coy about it.
Yeah.
But if there is one show that I must recommend on HBO, it's Righteous Gemstones.
Is that good?
Oh, God. I can't endorse it more.
That's on my list of post-surgery recovery binges, because I'm not going to be able to get out of my recliner for a while, so I've been adding things to my list.
What's his name's on that, isn't he?
Danny McBride, Walton Goggins, John Goodman. There's so many good people.
John Goodman's having a fucking stellar season. Like,
nice.
He's not as utilized in the first season.
Oh, really?
But season two, there's like a whole fucking arc built around his character, and it's great. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. If you're even a slight, like, it's definitely got Danny McBride flavor to, like, the way he acts and stuff. Like, he's got a signature way of behaving with his characters.
Oh, very.
What was that one Taekwondo movie he made?
Fist Way.
Yeah.
That was his first movie. That's the movie that basically got him anything. That was with him.
Get into it.
Jody Hill directed it. It was fine, but it was just like a low budget.
Did you watch Eastbound and Down?
Show has fucking layers. Yeah, Eastbound and Down. Jody Hill is also.
It had moments that made me feel like Foot Fist Way, where I was like, yeah, it's a little, but
right.
By and large, it made me laugh pretty hard. But it.
Vice Principals is also really good.
Vice Principals was amazing.
Yeah, if you liked Vice Principals, you'll love
Gemstones. I'm a Walton Goggins guy.
Oh, yeah. And he's fantastic.
He's so
in it.
Good.
Same.
I look forward to hearing your guys' thoughts on it. It's got I'd say that Jody Hill and Danny McBride make a good, like,
partnership. Very. Yeah.
And they can tell a fucking story. And especially this season now, I mean,
it was fun last. The first season was fun. The second season's been a lot of fun too. And just the fucking jokes and the gags they do throughout it are.
I just gotta quit falling asleep and stuff. Like,
once you're bad about that.
Once I find, well, I've been better lately about watching an episode or two and then switching to something I've already seen.
Yeah.
Or like a,
that's usually what I do.
Like last night, I watched that episode of Peacemaker, and then I went over to like Horrible Bosses or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I can fall asleep to this because I've seen this a dozen times.
That's, yeah, my bedtime is shows I fall asleep to.
Yep. Yeah.
Or shows I've seen before I've been restarting episodes.
Because otherwise I pay too much attention.
Justified, and like it's like I know what happens here so I can comfortably drift off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I turn off the advance episode automatically,
yeah,
it just...
It stops after the one, and then I don't have... Because I need the noise.
To help me fall asleep.
Doze,
yeah, same. Off, same.
But I don't need it through the night, because if I have it through the night, then it will wake
me up. Does it wake
you
up?
Sporadically through the night.
Same. Me too, actually.
And then I'm having weird dreams, too, because of that.
No, I've got... right now, I believe... Oh, no, there's three things. Excuse me. There's three things on my... recover from surgery binge watch list, because mom and dad were nice enough to bring my we inherited this power lift recliner from my grandma when she passed away, because she was doing hospice, and it is a little nice one person recliner, but it power reclines. It's got a heater in it and it's got a massager in the back of it. And then it lifts as well, so it'll help me stand up and get out of the chair easier, too. And they brought that over last weekend, so we can get that set up in the living room. But I've got Righteous Gemstones, Arcane on Netflix.
Is that
the League of Legends one?
I've heard that's really good.
I've watched all but the last two episodes, because I was...
you don't need to know anything
about watching it with my son. It's great. I've liked it, what I've seen. I just need to sit down and finish it.
I haven't just heard good things about it, as we all like to joke. I've heard universally good things about it. I don't think I've heard anybody say anything bad about it.
I lost it today, by the way, when I was listening to the Bruno shows. We were talking about something. He goes, I've heard good things. And I don't know if he did it.
He probably did it intentionally,
but man.
He probably did.
It slipped right by us.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't catch it?
We didn't even catch it.
Oh.
Too funny.
But yeah, there's Righteous Gemstones, Arcane, and that new, is it called Reacher or is it called Jack Reacher?
Oh, Reacher. It's Reacher. It's
Reacher.
Fucking
okay.
Great.
Yeah. We were talking about that in the chat. Yeah. My dad's already watched the entire.
We blasted through it in a day.
Yeah. That's basically what he did.
It's that easy.
Huh.
It's eight episodes. You're in and out quick. Yeah, I mean,
the girl with, or the whatever, the window one with the title murder.
Oh yeah, I haven't watched that one yet, but I need to.
I love it. I really, really enjoyed it.
I talked mom into watching it, so I've seen it twice now.
Oh, nice!
And she blasted through it in a night.
Yeah, Tori and I watched it in just I think 3 days after work every night. But it, as I said when we were talking about it in the chat, it's one of the few things that I can think of that I would actually compare to The Naked Gun, because it has that level of just absolute ridiculousness, but really everybody plays it totally straight.
Yeah.
Like 100%. The only time that they ever really kind of veer from that at all is the one part where her friend's at her house and she's like, so wait, do you just sit in front of this window and drink wine and watch these people all day?
Yeah.
Like, that was it.
Like, one person questions her whole reality.
Yeah.
Oh, this shit.
Oh, the Oscars. man, Jodie Comer got fucking hosed. She was so good in The Last Duel. She absolutely deserved a nomination for Best Actress.
Will Smith got a Best Actor now?
Yeah. I don't know. I was looking at
that King Richard. We watched that King Richard over Thanksgiving. That was actually...
Is it any good?
It was good.
Nice.
Yeah.
There's a lot of these movies
back,
I haven't
once
seen.
Once it rolls back onto HBO, I recommend...
Okay. I'll check it out, because
it was an HBO one,
yeah,
right?
It was.
Yeah, we watched it.
They
that
play
way.
It for like 30 days or whatever, yeah. And then it goes away.
I've had ones that done that. Dune passed me by.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I'm waiting for the second one, but...
Yeah, some of those... Matrix is gone now, I think, and I didn't watch it.
Oh, yeah, but, just save yourself
but
the
I also,
time.
Yeah, I heard plenty of, I heard plenty of
bad things.
Hard disagrees about it.
Yeah. It's not good. It is really not good. One of the things I was struck by with all of the nominees is how few of the movies I've seen.
That's what I wanted to talk about. And it seems every year I get diminishing returns on these movies.
How dog is it?
The Spencer, Kristen Stewart, which big ups to Kristen Stewart for getting an Oscar nomination, because she is way fucking talented.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really, really talented.
Don't look
up. And, but car. That's Spencer, that one that she did, that she's nominated for, where she plays Princess Di. That's on Hulu now.
Wow, I've actually seen two of those.
Nightmare Alley's on HBO now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's worth a look. It's like a really long... Twilight Zone episode.
I was going to watch it the other day, but I watched 20 minutes. Last Duel
instead. I'm pretty
proud
of myself, except I ruined it for Amanda because I leaned over and I was like, this is what's going to happen.
Oh,
almost
shit.
Exactly. I went a little more convoluted than it actually was,
yeah.
But I almost point for point called how it was going to go, and it was funny.
That is funny.
So I've seen 2.5 of these movies.
Which one did you see?
I haven't seen any of them.
I watched. We started Power of the Dog.
And what's that on?
It's on Netflix.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh shit!
It's a Netflix one.
Yeah, I really want to. I really have been wanting to see it. I didn't realize it was on Netflix.
It was a Netflix title.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I feel out of the loop on that. Damn.
It came out. It came out around the time the.
I feel out of the loop.
The Harder They Fall came out.
Oh. Okay.
Around the same time, which I haven't watched that yet either.
How long is that?
Power of the Dog. It's over 2 hours.
Jesus. Why do they do that? Just leave me alone.
No, I haven't seen any of these.
So we watched King Richard. That was fine. I mean,
Dune was good.
And then Don't Look Up was okay, but it wasn't like I can't write any letters home about it. It's not, like it wasn't.
Adam McKay's movies are too satirical.
Yeah.
They're just a little too up their own ass about it, and I don't care for it.
Right.
You know, half of these are like a monkey pissing in his own mouth. Have you seen that?
No.
GIF where the monkey's laying back on the branch.
I've never seen that.
It's funny. But I don't know. Like West Side Story, fuck you.
So we watched. Okay, so let's name them off really quick for the listeners.
The Best Picture nominees are
Belfast
from Kenneth Branagh. Supposed to be amazing. I've heard good things.
I'm intrigued, but not enough.
I love Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah. I really want
to see Death on the Nile.
Oh yeah,
because Murder on the Orient Express was fucking great.
I want to see that too. I just
Coda. I don't even know.
Oh, you haven't seen Murder on the Orient? Oh, it's good. It's well worth your time. He is a great Poirot.
Is he?
Yeah.
Coda, no idea.
No idea.
Don't look up. We talked about Drive My Car. Not even
no idea.
I don't know who's in it.
Dune was fun, but again, it's like a third of the movie.
Yeah.
So
that's why I haven't watched it yet.
I wouldn't even have given it a nomination because it's not a full movie.
King Richard's good, but I don't know. Like,
is it really one of the best movies of the year?
Well, I mean, I guess when you don't have much to do, I don't know. There's not.
I genuinely cannot believe that The Last Duel didn't get a nomination.
When did it come out?
This this cycle.
Did it come out before the 31st of December?
Yeah.
I thought it didn't come out till January.
No, if I remember correctly, it did. But I know it was eligible because it's one of the things that I've seen a lot of other people talking about was the fact that it didn't get any nominations. And,
it seems like the kind of thing that would have been
Ridley Scott doing another historical epic, like a la Gladiator, kind of in the vein of Braveheart a little bit with the swords and chainmail. And the script is really fantastic. It has this like Rashomon vibe to it where it's broken into sections and it's like, oh, this is what happened from Matt Damon's perspective. And this is what happened from Adam Driver's perspective. And then this is what happened from Jodie Comer's perspective, the wife. And so the way that the script handles all three sequences is really well done.
But I never get Ben Affleck's perspective.
No, because Ben Affleck is just a supporting role and he fucking kills it.
So I don't care about Ben Affleck.
He steals every scene that he is in.
Batfleck forever.
He plays this like smug as fuck count who like helps control the courts and is so, like in the back pocket of the king, and he is just the ultimate smug prick. He
plays so well. I saw one scene and I couldn't separate that Damon and Affleck know each other.
They co-wrote the script.
Did they co-write it?
Okay.
When Damon comes up to like bow to him,
yeah,
and he's like, move forward like that. Mm-hmm. That looked almost like improvised in a way, especially the way Affleck's cadence was. It's like
there is a genuine like effortless, and I don't know if it's because he knows Matt Damon so well, but he is such a dick to him and he belittles him, so it's so effortless, like he doesn't even seem like he's trying. And it was fantastic. Jodie Comer straight fucking killed it.
She's good to watch. Eve,
She's the lead in Killing Eve.
She's great in Free Guy.
I haven't watched that yet.
It's on Disney Plus.
No shit.
Yeah.
Free Guy. Man, I need to watch that.
Alex and I were talking about it because we did go see it in the theater. It's fantastic.
Nice. Matthew, if you're watching, we need to watch that.
And Alex is like, dude, we should watch that. And we never got around to it because we were doing other stuff. But
she the female lead in that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh man!
No
cool.
kidding.
Nice.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, I really like her.
I don't know.
So speaking of movies that should have been up on Contender is the Old Henry with Tim Blake Nelson.
Damn.
Don't worry about Trace Adkins being in it.
I haven't heard about this.
But Stephen Dorff's in it too. And
there's an underrated dude.
And there's a twist. And when you watch, like, if you ever watch it, talk to me about it because I'm curious to.
Okay.
I actually enjoyed.
Where can we pull this?
Where can we watch this?
I rented it, so I don't know. I don't know where it's at.
I really
like
Tim
Blake
Nelson
for it though. But
I was gonna keep the kindness month going, but that's gay, dude. I rented it. You fucking rented it. It's 2022, and you have all the streaming services.
I know.
You don't just search. What streaming service can I watch this on?
Well, there wasn't a free option yet because it was brand new. But it was really good. We watched it over in December.
Now,
and
Licorice Pizza.
Licorice Pizza I've not heard about.
It's the
same guy that did Magnolia dude, and
Dazed and Confused.
And
Linklater?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, so that's another one that I'm interested in, but I just haven't.
Not rushing out.
Yeah, it's another one because it's probably going to be 3.5 hours long.
Yeah.
And do I have that kind of time?
Did you ever watch Boyhood or whatever?
Nope.
The one he did? It wasn't bad.
I'm sure it's fantastic. I wasn't interested.
But that's another 3.5 hour movie. How am I supposed to put that much time?
That he spent
I admire
like
the craft.
15, 16 years making. It's insane.
I admire
But it
the
was
craft.
Actually, like, when you watch it, it's fucking commendable what he did.
It's one of those things. It's like, I don't know, some great work of art, but
yeah, I mean, it's
it doesn't make my dick hard,
right?
Like
at the end of the day, it's a movie that could have been made with a kid, with three kids. But it was fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like
the
what
idea is fantastic.
Went into that. Yeah.
The effort is Herculean.
It's super commendable,
awesome
but
that he did it, but it does. It
doesn't make me
want to
watch it
ticket
anymore.
Money.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I'm glad it's there. I'm glad somebody did it, and I hope nobody ever does it again.
Right.
I don't think anybody will.
Nightmare Alley.
What a cast. I intend to watch it. What a cast.
Richard Jenkins is awesome. That dude that plays his heavy, he's in everything. He's in Mindhunter. He's the main guy in Mindhunter.
Cole.
Sure.
Cole something.
Yeah.
Coacher.
He's in lots of stuff.
He was in Fight Club.
Yeah. Project Mayhem. We have no names. But
rest in peace, Beat Loaf.
Woo!
Holt McCallany.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That dude is awesome.
West Side Story, I don't care about. That's Spielberg's gig, right?
I do not give a shit.
I give zero fucks, but I will say one thing interesting that I saw with this nomination. Steven Spielberg has now had a movie nominated for Best Picture in 6 different decades. That's a feat.
Probably 6 different genres.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Talk about a diverse fucking filmography.
Yeah.
But West Side Story, give yeah. zero shits.
Great yeah. for a dude who raped a girl to death.
No, thank you.
Javier Bardem and Bean the Ricardos. We watched this movie.
How was that?
It's fine. Like it was one of those movies that sent me down a Wikipedia rabbit hole to like find out like how old Lucille Ball was during this time.
I heard he was really miscast in the role.
No, you know, people complained because he's a Spanish dude and not a Cuban.
I didn't think it was terrible. In fact, when I first saw it, I thought, that doesn't remind me of Desi Arnaz, but then when I go back and like I found footage of Desi Arnaz, I was like, he's doing a pretty solid job with the
okay
impression.
That's Javier Bardem, and he's badass.
Yeah, so
I'm okay with it.
It was fine. Like it's fine. It wasn't phenomenal.
Well, like, I suppose if you like them and you care about Lucille Ball,
right?
And there's a lot of history there.
Sure,
but I just don't care.
Well, and that was where because there is the history there, I'm interested in more of the expand. Like, I want to know more than what's going on in the movie. So that's where I end up going down these rabbit holes while the movie is going on to be like, yeah. did you know? And getting all this extra information.
Yeah.
Well, and here's another thing. Power of the Dog, Benedict Cumberbatch. How did I not get more about this movie? With the amount of shit that is advertised at me all the time, how right. did I not hear about
it? Dude, this? I actively pay attention to movie stuff, and I didn't know it was on Netflix. Don't feel too bad, buddy.
Or Denzel Washington doing Macbeth.
Oh, yeah, dude.
How the fuck Francis, did you didn't I not know, about, know that? About this?
Francis McDormand's in it, too.
Fuck you!
Yeah, man.
No, fuck you!
Yeah, I really want to watch that. Like, really want to watch that.
Like,
it's from
Denzel's in my favorite movie.
If I'm remembering correctly, one of the Coen brothers did it.
Yeah.
And
well, that explains why Frances McDormand's in it.
Yeah, right. See, actress in a leading role. Why are we
The Eyes of Tammy Faye?
The Eyes of Tammy Faye. Like, why do we care? Like, why do we care about that movie?
Count them, two of the chicks from the 355 are up for best actress in a leading role.
Fuck.
How did that happen?
Good fucking question.
Kristen Stewart in that too?
No, Penelope Cruz.
I saw her, but I was like, aren't you missing one?
Kristen Stewart was in the Charlie's Angels reboot.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
I knew there was some fucked up spy movie with women punching people they shouldn't be able to.
Man, and you know, going back to the Ricardos, as much as I want to dislike Nicole Kidman, she's a fucking talented
She really is.
Actress.
Yeah, is. I don't like she's her very versatile. Much, but she's very talented.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish she'd do less Botox, but
I'm right.
all right with her.
She's
her
poor face.
Judi Dench is in Belfast? Gee, many Christmas.
Yeah, so is Ciarán Hinds.
No way!
Yeah, dude, it's got a wicked cast. It's Kenneth Branagh. And that's another one. The first time I heard about this fucking movie was when it got a bunch of nominations for Academy Awards. It's like, I haven't heard about this movie at all.
J.K. Simmons being the Ricardos, actor in a supporting role. He was good in that.
He's nice. Good in everything.
I really like him.
I'm a big fan of him. PTA and did Licorice Pizza.
Yep. Oh, that's right. It's not Linklater. It's Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah.
He did Dazed and Confused, and he did...
No, Linklater did Dazed and Confused.
Yeah. PTA did... Boogie Nights.
Yeah, that's right. And that's right, Boogie Nights. Magnolia. I always get those confused.
Wow, look at Jennifer Lawrence.
That horrible haircut.
Awful.
Right.
Some people just should.
So there's a show called 1883, and the young actress in it looks like a young Jennifer Lawrence. And Jennifer Lawrence looks like, I don't know, anymore.
She used to look like a young Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
But
Best Director is not, I don't know, there's no real surprises there. Kenneth Branagh, Paul Thomas Anderson, and Steven Spielberg are up.
Yeah.
What year is it?
Right.
Yeah.
It looks like a 90s list.
See, none of these, like...
Best Adapted Screenplay.
I think I skipped the Oscars last year. If I did it, if I watched it, I watched it after it aired.
I skipped
and
it.
And zipped through stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't... nothing in it's for me anymore.
Nope.
No.
Like, even the...
It never was. It's Hollywood sniffing its own farts.
Yeah. Well, I used to enjoy, like, Billy Crystal doing the fucking
funny.
He would do at the beginning. And, like, when they have a decent
host.
And they had some good interludes in there.
But there's not been anything recently that I care about.
Yeah.
No, and I
don't care about music.
A lot of them. See, and I used to be when they had an interesting host or at least an entertaining host, or when they were a little bit more adept at making the show at least like in the realm of enjoyable to watch,
even with all the filler.
Then I did give a shit about best screenplay and best cinematography and stuff like that, because that stuff interests me for one. And so, but now, nope. I don't need to waste 3 fucking hours watching it. I'll just read the results afterward, and if there's any highlights, they're going to be on YouTube.
At this point, the Oscars is an antiquated,
in a lot of ways,
thing. It should be a private thing for them.
To
suck their own knob at this point, because I don't care anymore. Yeah,
I could blow myself, I wouldn't do it live on television.
And then all these other ones, like, costume design, best documentary. I like finding shit on my own.
I'd open an OnlyFans.
Cinematography. It's not that I don't appreciate the skill that's involved in all of these, all aspects of these things, best film editing, all that stuff.
Best makeup and
hairstyling. It's not.
You could film the Big Five, do it in an hour, and be done.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Mm-hmm. But you drag that shit on and on and on.
And they still don't recognize stunt performers.
And they have.
Which is bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Big bullshit.
Big time bullshit.
That girl looks familiar. What's she in? Other than Coda.
Amelia Jones.
Amelia Jones. I don't know. That doesn't ring a bell.
Look familiar to me.
Best visual effects, Shang-Chi and Spider-Man got hit on that. Spider-Man didn't even get... tongue punch a fart box on that one. Spider-Man was good. Shang-Chi wasn't good.
They don't throw a lot of Oscar love to the tentpoles.
No, they have a pretty strong stance on not celebrating those kind of movies. Tentpole.
Stick jokes for everybody.
And they make best makeup Coming to America too, which I never even watched.
It wasn't great.
I didn't even watch it.
I wasn't super disappointed, but it wasn't.
It's just one of those things. Like I'm no longer like, I would rather they make something new.
Oh yeah.
Everything's the same anymore, but I'd rather it be the same under a different name.
What disappointed me about Coming to America with the two is sort of T.O. is that not long before that he did Dolomite Is My Name, and that movie was fucking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like start to finish, probably one of the best self-made, like most American movies ever made. Like, and then he did Coming to America,
and he's so good in it.
Yeah. Well, this transitions right into style versus
exactly. Yeah. That's it. I was going to say the same thing.
And there's so much junk on Netflix in their original movies that something like Dolomite Is My Name comes up, and you're like, where the fuck did this come from?
Yeah, where have you been?
Why did this even happen? It's so good. If you can put up with the language that's in there, which is really, really, really coarse.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where even I'm a little bit like, whoa, can you tone that shit down just a little bit?
Cool it there, cocksucker.
Like, Al Swearingen's blushing.
Yeah.
And it's so good. And, I mean, looking back, I think back, I'm like, yeah, that was a really, really good show. And
I like this comment.
I can't see
We him. Can't see oh, the...
I apologize.
That's okay.
I apologize.
I was great at new content. But there's... what did I say out loud?
I think it was probably about the monkey pissing in its own mouth.
Oh, yeah.
If I was guessing.
That is a good guess.
I'm going to take a shot in the dark on that one.
Or that, or Steven Spielberg raping that girl to death.
Yeah, that could be it too.
That was pretty funny.
The phrase "flash in the pan" could not be more relevant for movies and TV shows right now. It's like the immediacy of social media and the 24-hour news cycle and just the quickness and immediacy that our world has become is now starting to seep into.
Well, I was watching
movies and TV shows. You know, Squid Game was the biggest. Tiger King, another example.
Yeah.
These things that are like borderline could be considered cultural phenomenons, and then 2 weeks later, month later, radio silence.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
they're gone.
Yeah,
but it's this generation of like, give me more and more TikTok. We want everything has to be fast and quick. But if we can find something to glom onto quickly and then move on, then that's great.
Yeah.
But I was watching a YouTube video yesterday, one that my son had like turned on, and it was interesting because like they were talking about movies and stuff in the 30s, and a lot of movies, like if they were just shitty movies or didn't do well, they don't exist anymore. Like in the
They just tossed the film.
They just don't. They just don't. Like right on the probably 50% of the movies that were made back in that time period are just gone.
Gone.
Well, and
like they show them in the show house the one time, you know, for their run. If they're not successful, they're gone.
And then people bitch about things being remade, but Hollywood's always remade things. We were watching. It was like Saturday afternoon, and State Fair came on, and this was like a 1944 or something movie, and this was the third time it had been made, and movies weren't even that fucking old then.
And the other thing is, if you anymore now, it's not a direct remake, it's just a carbon copy. It's just, well, we couldn't get the rights to the IP, so we basically just remade the movie, but we changed the names, and instead of an alien, it's this now, or something, you know,
it's a fucking demon.
Yeah, like it's
Alpha Centauri instead of an alien from Alpha Centauri.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It's also fucking.
I mean, every once in a while, and you can't say ever that there's original content anymore. We've talked about this before, but every once in a while, something that is at least enjoyable.
Somebody will play enough jazz with something,
and it's not original,
it's unique.
It's unique enough that it's got that it can hit like classic status. Yep. Like Galaxy Quest is infinitely rewatchable.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why when I write anything, it doesn't go anywhere. Because I'll realize about 20 pages in what it is that I'm writing, and I'll be like, oh yeah, I know.
I always, because I got really conscious or self-conscious about plagiarism when I was young, and so anytime I would write something, I'd always want to write like I feel like I'm doing something original, but then I'll read it and I'll be like, that's stupid. But if I found myself writing something that I felt like I was aping, then I'd just abandon it altogether.
Like, I'll have a character doing something, and then it'll be like,
I'm
that's
stealing this from somewhere.
Oops.
But,
or whatever.
But, and I guess Jack's that's where I fucked myself, because that's all the content that gets created anymore.
Mm-hmm.
My friend and I had an idea a long time ago for we were going to call it Super Anonymous, which was like basically the premise was like an AA group for superheroes. And they've all got these weird kind of quirky powers. One guy has just like, in one guy's powers, they has giant testicles. There's nothing, and my friend and I are developing this whole story.
Nice.
There's nothing else to it. And I can't even remember if we worked in some sort of, I'm sure there was some sort of semen.
It had to be.
Prolific amounts of semen, but but
into my parlor.
But we had all these things, and then we ended up, and then the motto was, we had a monkey with superpowers, like a chimpanzee that had superpowers,
of course,
and
Heroes was going on at the time, and so we had a motto that was "Save the monkey, save the world," instead of "Save the cheerleader, save the world."
Oh yeah,
and we were like, we were strong into like to developing the idea, and then we never, it never just got off the ground. After like we talked about it on the phone more than we actually did any like pen to paper with it, but then the boys came out. And I was like, oh, wow, a lot of our ideas and stuff parallel what they're doing with the boys.
Like the guy with the prehensile penis.
Ew. Say that one again.
Like the guy.
Yeah.
The prehensile penis.
So gross.
So gross. Yes.
It's so gross.
Comic number 12 is 14 what was black his pages. Name again?
Oh, I don't remember.
I can't remember it now.
I'm sure it was ridiculous. The comic.
I'm really
awful.
Interested to see what they do with season 3 because I was really impressed with season 2.
Looking forward
shit,
to
you Nazi bitch
to fucking Dean Winchester gracing the screen,
dude. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for Soldier Boy if for no other reason than his battle cry is just the name of states.
That's like, great.
He's gonna kick somebody in the face and yell Idaho. Fuck yeah.
That's great.
Punch him in the nuts. Washington. South Dakota. I don't know why that tickles me so much. That's one of my favorite gags like ever. And I almost wish Captain America would get a concussion and do that for a little while. Alaska.
We've turned into the biggest like group of old men. I went from brewing beer to brewing coffee
for
the show.
It's cold outside.
It is cold outside.
But the coffee's great.
Oh, the weather outside's delightful. Wait a minute. No, it's not. It's cold as shit.
Tell you what.
So yeah, style versus substance.
We didn't give it enough credit earlier in the show, but that mead you made.
What?
Speaking of your home brews and concoctions and creations.
Oh, whatnot, yes.
So goddamn good.
Sorry, folks.
So good.
I really I took some to hockey that week too.
Yeah.
And it was a hit there.
Yeah, Tori and I were talking about it and I was telling her, I said, I don't know what's more impressive to me, really honestly. The fact that it tastes like that Ward made mead that tastes as good, or the fact that it was like the first time, because wasn't that your first
my first batch of mead?
I was like, most people, like it, me personally, and I'm showing my ignorance here, which of course we all know how willing I am to do, I don't know much about brewing beer, making alcohol, all that kind of stuff. I'm real green on it. I don't know all that much about it. So I told Tori, I said, the fact, like, if I tried to make mead, you wouldn't be able to drink the first batch. It'd probably fucking kill you. And so the fact that you made drinkable shit on your first batch is a win. But then on top of that, the fact that it's really good.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
I was happy with how it turned out for sure.
And I loved the color of it. It looked like potion. That like pale pink.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. I liked it.
It was, I guess for me, like when I make this, I spend a lot of time like pre-researching and like pre-building it in my head.
Yeah.
So I'm not making it, but I'm like reading over and over again what I'm supposed to do and how.
Oh yeah.
And so then I'm gathering
like borderline memorizing the instructions.
Right.
Yeah.
And so then I have, you know, the friend I play hockey with, had access to like organic honey, so he had dropped off a quart jar and a gallon gallon jug of the honey on the steps, and so I'm like, gosh, that's a lot of honey. I don't want to fuck this up. So I have that in my head too when I'm making the mead, because I'm like, I'd hate to ruin all this honey.
No kidding.
Yeah. The what was the movie? Oh, Red Notice. That was the one I wanted to talk about in regards to the style over substance thing.
Yeah.
Did anybody watch?
I quit watching this. I didn't care.
I watched the Critical Drinkers.
And I like Ryan Reynolds and I like Dwayne Johnson, but I just don't care.
I like everybody.
Like Gal Gadot.
I like everybody that's in it. I like her enough for movies. She's
the story.
Not a really great actress, but she's very charismatic.
And she's gorgeous.
And she's absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. and I love The Rock and I love Ryan Reynolds, but I was already not sold when I watched the trailers, but I did just turn it on anyway, just for like, fuck, whatever.
I would rather watch
I turned on the new Matrix movie, and at least I made it through that.
I would rather watch Mint Mobile, the movie starring Ryan Reynolds, than watch Red Notice. At this point,
was it that bad?
It just feels
like a real manufactured action movie.
I was just about to say, it feels like a movie that was written by an algorithm. It really genuinely does.
That's what a lot of the Netflix movies feel like.
Yeah,
I feel like Free Guy is the same thing, but it was done correctly.
Like, it's just about ticking a certain number of, you know, related boxes to we're going to make a movie that's going to appeal to these people and it's going to be this. We're going to make a movie that appeals to these people and it's going to be this. And there's no real art or craft to it. There's no sense of individuality or uniqueness to it. It feels like... Anybody could have been checking boxes.
This won't be popular, but is anything The Rock is in? Is any of it? Is there any substance to any of it
anymore? No.
One of the things that I have really taken away from Peacemaker is that while The Rock is unquestionably more charismatic than John Cena, Cena is a superior actor by far.
I think Batiste is the best actor to come out of
the wrestling arena.
The Rock has the most charisma.
Hands down.
Maybe anybody who's ever been born. I might go that far. Like, Hulk Hogan has a ton, but I think The Rock has more.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely want that man to like me as a person. And I
would
don't
be upset
why.
If he was like, hey, you suck. I'd be like, oh,
if The
man,
Rock
the
came
Rock
up to me and was
suck?
Like, I don't like you. I'd be like, that sucks. It's like, I could probably go now.
Where's Ron? I don't know. He's hanging by his neck and his claws.
Why? Erotic
The Rock said he didn't like him.
I don't know. Maybe, maybe he was jerking off.
No.
Hope he was jerking off. Hope he didn't off himself.
Cena's
jerking off himself.
The thing about The Rock is he's. It's not. I'm not saying that he's a bad actor because he's not.
He's not a good actor.
He's not a great actor.
He just plays The Rock.
He doesn't really have much in the way of range.
The thing. If he can be.
Every once in a while,
Black Adam.
I think we talked about this, on a previous show. The intermittent spurts of Dwayne Johnson showing range, like faster.
Yeah,
that was a movie where he didn't exactly play The Rock. He was a Rock variant, shall we say.
Rock once removed.
The amount of pathos and like, you know, because Peacemaker's whole thing is that there's a spot later in the season. I know I said I wouldn't get too spoilery with it, but there's a spot Peacemaker's really struggling with his identity and wondering if he's right to murder anyone that gets in the way of justice. And he is like very visibly wrestling with himself and almost like blurts out without meaning to, maybe I don't want to kill people anymore. And like the whole scene it's really well written, but he absolutely nails it. I would never see The Rock carrying a scene like that with like emotional weight like that. Batista totally could.
He's got a persona that he has to carry.
True.
He's got a whole.
Yeah.
Brand.
He's got some.
You're not wrong.
I'd say the most range he's actually put to use is in Ballers, and it's not. And that's not even like a huge. Like he's not stretching his muscle.
Not really.
Out there that much because it's not much of a reach beyond who he is as an individual.
He's playing
anyway.
A Rock variant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave up on that show, but I enjoyed what I watched.
I haven't finished it either. I stopped watching toward the end because it got less interesting.
I think I made it more
redundant.
Maybe three seasons.
I don't think I made it through the entire first season, honestly. But I liked it. I liked what I saw.
There wasn't enough to make me jump at it.
Yeah, it's not really something that that really grabs him by the short and curlies. And yeah, he was good in Jumanji. Everything about those new Jumanji movies was good.
Can you scoot the cursor to the right so I can see what comments?
Oh yeah,
thank you. But
he played the piano.
Yeah, he did, and he played it pretty well, honestly. Mox, as he was good in Jumanji. Jumanji is another really good example of exactly what we're talking about.
Everybody too is he's good in that too.
Everybody that's in the movie does a very good, serviceable job. They all fill their roles nicely. Karen Gillan is great in everything. I adore her. The parts with I don't even really like Awkwafina, and she was great in the second Jumanji.
She was rough in Shang-Chi.
She was.
She was probably the biggest letdown in that movie. She's just really hard to watch. She's not attractive. She's not funny.
She has a really grating personality.
Yeah, she's grating.
And I don't like how she got on the map with that stupid vagina video. What?
See, I don't even. Yeah, I know of it, but I don't believe that's I've ever actually seen it.
It's so stupid.
You had a pause between vagina and video, and I'm like, what?
She got on the map with that vagina.
Like she's got a video. Vagina?
No. No, John LaJoy kind of bullshit.
Oh.
But coming from a female, so it's going to say, a woman did this? So shocking.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like Amy Schumer. That kind of, like, I mean, like, that's why.
Yeah, her voice. It's grating. I don't like listening to her talk.
Yeah. Which sucks because everybody else in that movie was doing great.
Yeah. Jack Black was awesome.
Oh, I was talking about Shang-Chi.
Oh.
I haven't seen either of the Jumanji movies because I just don't care.
Yeah. Dude, what's his? I don't remember his name, but the guy that played the dad, he was so good. What's it? Is that Tony Leung? Is he the one that played Mandarin? I think. I don't remember. He was so fucking great in that movie.
Yeah, I think so. That had the makings of a great movie. It just, I don't think it pulled it off.
And it wound up being fine. Like so many other things that come out now. Encanto. Watch that with the kids. Loved it.
I hear the songs are catchy.
They are.
The songs are catchy.
The animation is beautiful, but it was not something that was going to stick with me.
Yeah.
You know, after I watched it.
Who wrote songs for Encanto?
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, okay. So now I got to watch Encanto.
And you can tell. They're catchy as fuck.
That was Moana did that too for me.
The music isn't as good as Moana.
Okay, well.
I didn't see that either.
But Hamilton, the music in Hamilton, it's catchy shit.
It's really earwormy.
It's not.
Oh, he was less.
He's not reinventing the wheel by any means. His shit's like.
No.
It's,
I don't think he's that.
He's not. He's talented in that he tapped into a vein that he is able to exploit really well.
Yeah. Now he needs to open.
And he knows how to write catchy music. I will totally give him that. He knows how to write catchy music. Shit. What was I going to say? But it was not one like Inside Out or Up, for instance, or The Incredibles. Those Pixar movies that fucking stay with you after the fact.
Right.
Yeah, there's several that never leave. I thought Soul was fantastic.
Yeah, I really liked Soul. Liked Soul.
We've watched that a couple times. Mars likes to watch it. She's like, let's watch that one again.
So you liked Inside Out and Soul?
Inside Out was okay.
I think Inside Out is absolutely spectacular.
See, those hit me at the wrong, like, and I have kids like that. Those were made for me. And so, but for whatever reason, they hit me in the wrong way. They didn't get like, cause tons of people I've talked to, they're like, it really hit all my feels. And for whatever reason, they didn't do that for me.
See, Inside Out.
Soul hits me cause it's a middle-aged dude.
Yeah. Who
hasn't really accomplished much. And that's pretty much me.
Inside Out hits me in the feels, but not from a parental standpoint. Inside Out hits me in the feels in the sense that I think that it's a movie that every child around the age of like 10 to 13 should be forced to watch. It does such a good job of handling really complex adult ideas and emotions in a way that's really accessible to young people. And I'm big on that kind of stuff. Maybe that's silly of me, but I don't know. The whole part of like how she's growing up and like having to actually like physically sacrifice, well, not knowingly sacrifice, but like actually sacrifice her imaginary friend, and the ways that we have to cut ourselves compartmentalize from childhood as we get older.
Yeah.
And the way that memories can shift in our mind and go from being something that was really happy, and then we can get a different piece of information, or something will happen and it will immediately become the polar opposite. I don't know. I just, like I said.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think that that's one of the parts that really works for it. And yeah. I think it just didn't resonate with me on the same level, but I think you're right in that regard, because like especially as I watch my daughter age up versus watching my boys age up,
oh yeah,
has been quite a bit different. And mm-hmm. it's like I learned something with my middle child though, because we broke the holiday hero rule with him a little early.
What's the holiday hero rule?
Santa's, Easter bunnies, tooth fairies.
We
let that cat out of the bag.
Oh, okay.
A little soonish. And because we assumed he knew just based on some of the conversations we'd had, and we were having these like talks and stuff, and it'd be and a lot of it was like putting like questioning things and being like, I knew it couldn't be you guys because blah blah blah, but also at the same time I also assumed that he like figured it out. And so then we told him one day, like, well, you know, this is all like just a scam, right? And he about lost it. Like we broke it to him a little friendlier than that, but it was like, because we talked to Wyatt about it, and it's like, and Wyatt was like, yeah, I've known. And then I brought it up to Cameron, and he was like in tears. Like he just, like it rocked his world, and I felt so bad for like taking that from him before he was ready.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I never even lied to them.
Well, and that's, you know,
I went, if they broach the subject, I just say, go ahead and ask your mom about it. Because both Jenny and Katie are huge on lying to the kids about. And so
lots of things.
Lots of things.
Sorry, that was in poor taste. That one came out. I'm sorry.
But for me, it was always not a well, like Mox said, no cat, no bag.
Yeah.
I
can totally dig that too. But at the same time,
I didn't want to have that tearful 10-year-old.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
holy shit, you've been lying to me for a decade.
I can understand that.
And neither one of them could even fathom what the hell I was talking about. And I was like, so you want to lie to them for 10 years and then have them find out at school and then come home and confront you about it?
Yeah.
And well, that was my biggest fear. It was like, I wanted to be able to beat the bully at the school.
You want to get in front of the story, as they say.
Yeah. And then it was, who hurt you? Like, nobody hurt me, because I figured it out early. But mm-hmm. I've never really been a child. But I was like, I don't want to like just build a foundation of lies.
Sure.
With somebody who's supposed to trust me implicitly.
Right.
Right.
And
well, and so we have these conversations now where we talk with like my daughter about it, who still is a believer, but we're really ambiguous about how we go about answering, because I don't want to be like, so, well, like he comes with it. I don't want to weave this big, long story that will come with like, so a lot of it's like, I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Oh, no, like, I just say it's a story that that people are told.
Right.
And with Mara, I say, don't go running to school and telling people, because some people have like whole things.
Right.
Yeah. But she's got a real good grasp on reality. Like, she knows witches aren't real. She knows monsters aren't real. She knows, oh no, we know all about Krampus. We were talking about Krampus yesterday. But you know, she knows Krampus isn't real. She knows with Be Good or You Will Be Eaten on Christmas. I love you, Grimsey.
Such a good movie.
And she has a book called Good Night Krampus, and the Krampus, little baby Krampus, won't go to sleep so Santa can go deliver the presents. But she knows that it's a story.
Right.
And
There's a part of me that I think my daughter does too, because she likes to manufacture some of the details about, like she did a whole Elf on the Shelf thing that she created the backstory for these things that we were moving around the house. Like, they weren't actual Elf on the Shelves, but she created, like, made her own characters out of things that she had. And so I was like, okay, well, so now we have had the task of, like, hiding them around, and then she would,
And not to totally shit on things, but how is there not a MILF on the shelf? Like, that should be a thing for like 40-year-old dude.
You need to market that like yesterday, man.
Yesterday. We should
for real.
Make
slutty
them.
Barbie dolls in
just fucking MILF on the shelf.
Yeah.
He's going to look it up. There has to be one, right? I haven't even thought to look it up.
If there's not, there should be.
I don't want that in my Google history.
That's a... That sells itself right there.
Yes. Like, that could be a whole series.
Unsure of what to get your single son this holiday season? Why not stop by Walgreens and grab him one
just
of the new
MILFs?
Just
happens to be inflatable. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really big. I can't even get it on the shelf.
He's on the Facebook, Moxie.
It's a fucking MILF on my couch because I can't fit it on the shelf.
I got it on my bed and fucked it, though.
MILF on an elf. MILF on the Elf on the Shelf. There's something there.
I get a ration of shit from Annabelle about us not having an Elf on the Shelf at our house, because she Mima does one,
right?
And I'm just like, Elf on the Shelf doesn't come to our house.
I love it.
Boy, I want one of those. That's great.
Yeah.
Grimms is on the Facebook.
I'd like to see I'm gonna have to Google that. I'd be interested to see that.
A little heartbreaker tattoo on her ass.
Yeah, man.
I love it.
All right, well, we got to get rolling.
It's that time.
But
you have stuff to do. And
yeah. Well, it's been fun, gentlemen.
Yeah, very.
Tell,
this was a good show.
Tori, if she's not listening, let her know that those macaroni and cheese bites were delicious.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Big thanks to two of my best friends in the whole universe showing up in the
yeah,
chat.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks guys.
Very much.
You guys were chatting on different platforms, but that's okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's this interaction everywhere.
Yeah.
We've got people coming over to the house for dinner and stuff, so I don't know if Tori's still watching or not, or if she's entertaining guests now.
Either way, it was fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, I will let her know.
We titled this episode MILF on his Shelf.
Yeah, there we go. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
All right.
All right, peeps, didn't I tell you this was the best one? They fucking nailed it as usual. In case you weren't listening at the beginning, make sure you head over to timespentpoorly.com and click things. Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. While you're at it, subscribe on YouTube and get notified the next time we're live. Maybe you appreciate what we give you and you want to support us? Great! Head over to patreon.com/timespentpoorly and check out how you can do just that. Thanks again for wasting your time with us this week. Now go make better use of it! Until next time.